Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is good. Not just summertime, but God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. I'm happy to be alive today. God has given us to you all another day among the living. If you're on the call, you hear me. Your blood is flowing in your veins. God is still blessing you to have another day and opportunity. He's given all of us to hear his word, to receive it with meekness, or is able to save our precious souls. If you're on the call today, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are a very honored guest, and we welcome you to the Church of Christ and Hollow Heights worship services. And to those who are visiting with us from other congregations, we're so thankful that you've chosen to come in our services today. We know there are a lot of opportunities out there, whether you want to do FaceTime, Facebook, Zoom, all kind of things like that, opportunities for you to worship. You've chosen to come to us through the conference medium that we have, and that has been a great tool for our congregation, and not only for our worship services, but nationwide outreach. And we've now gone global with our thousands are listening to us via conference call. And we hope and pray that you understand that what's required from God is hearing, not seeing. You don't have to see me to be a believer, to be obedient to God's word. You have to hear God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank God that blind men can receive the word of God. Their heart's right. One speak the truth, they can hear it and obey it before it's eternally too late. Faith comes by hearing, not by seeing. So good to have those on the call. They've chosen to listen to us. Actually, turn your Bible to Acts chapter 10. We'll go on there. We'll be studying the book of Acts. Hope you enjoy this study of the book of Acts, and we pray that God will help you to understand that studying his word can be beneficial to your spiritual well-being. And if you're on the call, you haven't obeyed the gospel, you need to understand that God done his part. He sent his only son. His son done his part. He hung, bled, and died on the cross. Shed his blood that washed his sins away in baptism. That same blood purchased his church, the only church you read about in the Bible, and the only one you ever heard Brother Brooks preach about, and that is the Church of Christ. It's in there. Romans 16:16. Paul says, salute one another, holy kiss, the churches of Christ. Salute you. Acts 2:47, the Bible says, praising God, have faith with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. To say they in the Church of Christ. Now, we don't say that to be mean. We say that because it's true. It's the truth. It's true. I wish I could say to say that any church you wanted to do, but that go to, that you can't say that because that's a constitutional freedom. God never gave us the freedom to serve any but one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one body, which is the church, Ephesians chapter 4 and the verses number 4. Now, this morning, one that feared God, Acts chapter 10, this is about a man named Cornelius. He's a Gentile, and the Bible says there was a certain man, in verse 1, in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the man called the Italian man. Today's lesson is about this man, Cornelius, who he thought he was saved. Obviously, he wasn't. Many try to say he prayed a sinner's prayer, but we're going to show you that that's not the case. The Bible says this was a centurion, which is a commander of hundreds of soldiers out of Italy. So he's a high-ranking guy in the military. And the Bible says in verse number 2, a devout man. Okay, let's identify that there are people who in the world that are not saved. However, they're honest, sincere, they're devout. And notice this is where I pull my title from, one that feared God. Understand this, no one is going to be saved if they don't fear God. We talked about this, walking in the fear of the Lord. We talked about it a week or so ago, and now we're back at it again. And look at this man. He one that feared God. He was a devout man. It means he was a religious man. And not only that, everything, all in his house feared God. So that tells me right there that you have a man of God, a man who fears God, and that there would spill over to his children and family. Now, he also was a good man. He gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, this man, Cornelius, was a Gentile. I mean, he wasn't a Jew. He was a devout and devoted man of God, praying man who feared God, but he was living under the old law, the Old Testament. Remember now, much like Saul. Saul, we learn in Acts 9 that Saul thought he was doing what was right. He'd done it ignorantly. He thought he was saved. He thought he was fighting for God. He was, and Jesus said, why are you kicking against the prison? He was hurting himself. And anyone who fear God can take change and understand what they must do to make change to be pleasing to God. And Saul, just like Cornelius, they had an understanding of the Old Testament law. But now that Jesus has died on the cross, there's a new message. Amen. A new Savior, a new Testament, a new law. And anyone who's going to be saved must obey this new law because Jesus has shed blood, and the blood of Jesus and the doctrine of Jesus, the doctrine of Christ, 2 John verse 9, must be taught to everyone who wants to be saved. 2 John verse 9 says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So there's a teaching that David couldn't teach. The Old Testament couldn't teach. They couldn't teach this in the Old Testament because Jesus had not died. See, there was no Christians in the Old Testament. And so here it is, these guys, Cornelius and Saul, still was living under that old law. And here's Saul has made his conversion. Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. Now here comes another one, Cornelius, a Gentile this time. Now watch what happens. Let me just say up front that the Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So the Bible comes from God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1, 20, 21, John 16, 13. So Luke is talking right now about Cornelius. This is Luke speaking. This is going to be important because then Cornelius is going to come and speak for himself. So which one is inspired? Which one is speaking and the Holy Spirit is guiding? It's going to be Luke. So Luke's going to give the accurate account of what really happened. And then Cornelius is going to come back and say what he thought happened. So that's going to be the difference here in the two speaking. And we'll get to that in a minute. Now, Luke says, he described what kind of man Cornelius was, who he was, one that feared God. That's the emphasis this morning. And now he said he, talking about Cornelius, saw in a vision, Luke says, evidently about the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m., the Jewish time clock. 3:69, ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Man, the third hour would be 9 o'clock in the morning, 6 hours, 12 noon, third hour, 3 p.m. Now, it was of the day. He said it was ninth hour of the day. Now watch this. Luke says an angel of God, he saw an angel of God coming in to him. And he's saying unto him, so this angel speaks to Cornelius. And when he looked on him, Cornelius was afraid. He said, what is it, Lord? So he called this angel, Lord. Now, this is an angel. And he said, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial. That's key right there. Memorial. Remember, Luke says his prayers and alms come up for a memorial to before God. And the reason I have to do this is because some are going to say, you know, Cornelius was a sinner and God heard his prayer. Now, that's not what Luke said. Luke just said there was a memorial. I want to just say briefly here as I launch into this thought. When a person is seeking God, you don't have to pray. No one has to pray God, according to 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. If you look there briefly, 1 Samuel 16 and 7, the Bible tells us something about God that man cannot do. Bible said the Lord looked on Samuel, looked not on his, said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Watch this now. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance. But notice what the Lord look at. The Lord looketh on the heart. So God can see the thoughts of anyone, no matter how religious they are. If they start seeking truth, God will know it. That's why it's important. We're trying to save people. It's not up to us to find them. God knows who's seeking truth. He knows who's seeking to be a true worshiper. John 4:23. Jesus said, the hour coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. Now watch this part. For the Father seeketh such. So for those of you who are trying to save people, understand this. It is not up to you to find the one who's seeking truth. God does that, and he puts you with them. Now, they have to then receive the truth for themselves. We'll see that here in just a minute. So I need to put that in there because some will say, well, God here is going to need this prayer, but no, that's not the case here. His prayer went up as a memorial because God could see his thoughts. Now, it came up as a memorial because God doesn't remember, doesn't forget anything. And so he asked. He said, he thinks it's the Lord. He said, Lord, what is it, Lord? And just like in the case with Saul, here's another religious man that's lost. He's devout. He asked God, he asked this angel what to do. Now, who going to ask God what to do? Those who fear. One that fear God will want to know from God what to do. Both Saul and, we know it's possible, and Cornelius had something in common. They feared God. And when you fear God, Ecclesiastes 12:13, Solomon says this, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We are to fear God and keep his commandments. So when you tell a person, you must be baptized to be saved, they say, well, I just don't believe in that. They don't fear God. A person who don't fear God is not going to do what God said. So we can't get all shook up over people who don't fear God. People who don't fear God are not going to keep his commandments. They're going to fight against baptism. They're going to fight against the one church. They're going to fight against everything God said. They're going to want to believe God the way they want to believe by God. That's called one who's self-willed. Many people today are self-willed. They want Jesus the way they want him. They're going to worship Jesus the way they want to worship. If they want to get their praise on, they're going to get their praise on. If they want to praise dance, they're going to praise dance. If they want to give when they want to give, they're going to do all these things. If they don't want to be baptized, they want to be sprinkled. If they want to be in the church, we do. If they want to believe all those things, they can do that. That's free will. But it's also self-will. And when one is self-willed, they don't fear God. That's what the bottom line is. When a person fear God, you want to know what God say do. Now, look, watch this man. He said, now, the angel tell him. Luke said, the angel said, now send men to Joppa. I'm in verse 5. And call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. This is the apostle Peter. When one fear God, God will send him a man to tell him what he must do. Remember in Acts 8, when the eunuch was in the desert, he had came from Jerusalem to worship, which tells me he was a worshiper of God, but he was still lost. So God sends Philip to him in Acts 8. We just talked about it. So God sent Philip to him in the desert. He told that man what to do. And the man came up on some water. Philip preached to him Jesus, which is the new command that every man had to obey. And the man said, see, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? So when he preached Jesus to the eunuch wanted to be baptized. Why? The eunuch was the one who feared God. People who fear God will want to keep his commandments. My question to you on the call, if you're visiting with us, do you fear God? If you fear God, God has put you in to hear my voice, to hear my word from him. If you're seeking God, then you will fear him enough to receive his word with meekness. You would discount me as the man, as Cornelius would discount Peter as the man. Peter would tell him to do that. But the word of God will not come back void. There was another case when Saul, in Acts 9, he thought he was doing what was right. Saul thought he was saved. He thought he was doing what God's will was for his life. And when Saul needed to know what to do, God sent Ananias to him. So he sent Philip to the eunuch, he sends Ananias to Saul. And Ananias told Saul what to do. Now God tells Cornelius, you send for a man named Peter, the angel told him. Why? Because Cornelius was one that feared God. That's what you should leave this message with this morning. Even in the church of Christ, those of us who fear God will do what God has said do when it comes to the way we live, it comes to worship, when it comes to giving, when it comes to loving, when it comes to being obedient, when it comes to making confession, when it comes to asking for prayer, we will do it the way God said do it because we fear God. So do you fear God is the question this morning. One that fear God, there will be results. God will move in your life when you fear God. Now, why did he send him to a man? Why did God send lost people to a man to tell him what to do? Because in 2 Corinthians 4:3, Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So God uses men to carry his message to a lost and dying world. I'm so thankful to be on the staff of the King of Kings, that I'm one of those early vessels, proudly one of those early vessels, and all I want to do is preach. The more preaching I can do, the greater I feel about it, because God is using us. When you know what God wants to do, you want to carry the message to those who are lost. Plus, you want them to be saved. Now, why are you on the call this morning? Why are you on the call? Is it that you need to know what to do? Or are you here because you saved already? You hear people say that, well, I preach a whole sermon about one church being baptized. They get off the call and say, well, I know I'm saved already. Well, then you didn't hear nothing was said. You didn't, because you don't fear God. You're not going to take his word at face value that it's absolutely right over you. That's a person who's not in fear of God. You know, I hope I'm talking to you this morning, because you're going to die like that. You're going to die like that. You're going to die in your sins if you don't fear God enough to obey his word. You got to obey exactly what he said to do. So maybe you're on the call because you need to know what to do. Maybe you, well, maybe all the hundreds of people we have on listening to me this morning, maybe there's only one person on this call who is really seeking to know the word of God. Maybe you're going through some things on the call today. Are you suffering? Are you struggling? Are you bothered? Are you lost? Are you at peace with God? Are you afraid because of the pandemic that you're going to die in your sin? What are you fearing? Do you fear death? Fearing death won't get you saved. Fearing God is the only thing that will save you. Because if you fear death, you just fear the unknown. You don't know what's after death. Therefore, you haven't believed in the Bible. When a person believes in the Bible, your only belief what happens after you die have to come from this book called the Bible. It's the word of God. It's the only thing answers to what happens when a person dies. Now, some people believe that when you die, you're just dead. It's like old Rogue. You're just dead all over. Nothing else happens after that. That is not what people who fear God believe. We believe there's a heaven to win and a hell to miss. Let me ask you a question. If you fear God, are you listening for answers from me this morning? Are you listening? Are you on here so you can say you attended? Are you on here because you just so you can say you heard? Are you on here because you say so you can say you worship God? Why are you here? Are you here to listen to God? Well, the only thing, only people that will be saved, you all, will be those who fear God and keep his commandments. Now, verse 5. He says, send me into Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Then the angel said, he lodged with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell you. Now, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Y'all see that word, oughtest, in verse number 6? So God is going to leave it up to Cornelius, and he's leaving it up to you. You ought to obey God. You ought to, but you don't have to. So here's the case with Cornelius. He said, he'll tell you what y'all is to do. And you know who's going to obey God? Those who fear him. Notice Peter is going to tell Cornelius what he ought to do. Which God leaves the final decision, not to Peter, not to Brother Brooke, the final decision on the soul who hears God's word. I'm going to tell you this morning, at the end of this sermon, what you ought us to do. Matter of fact, I'm telling you that all through the sermon. I always do that. At the beginning, I told you what you ought to do. At the beginning of my sermon, I call it a gospel sandwich. I tell you what to do at the beginning of my sermon. I always do that. I'm going to tell you what to do in the middle of it somewhere, and I'm going to tell you again at the end. Why? This is what you ought us to do. This is very simple. When God tells us what he ought us to do, he didn't make it complicated. You can obey God if you really want to. If you're seeking him, you will. If you fear God, you will. Verse number 7. Now watch what happens. When the angel which spake unto Cornelius. Who's talking to Cornelius? The angels. Who's telling it? Luke. When the angel was spake unto Cornelius, was departed, which spake, he called two of his household servants, a devout soldier, of them that waited on him continually. Now notice, people who are devout, who are seeking God, who fear God, they want religious people around them. They want people who fear God around them. And when one fear God, they will influence others as well. Who you got around? Who's in your circle? Who's in your circle of people in your life today? That's my question. If you fear God, guess what kind of people are going to have in your life? Others who fear God. That was the case here with Cornelius. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. So he followed along what the angel told him to do. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter now comes on the scene. The Bible records, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. So now Luke, the transition for what happened at Cornelius' house with the angel, he's now telling what's going on with Peter. And Peter don't know what's going on with Cornelius. And Cornelius don't know nothing about Peter. Who's involved in this whole parade? God. God see the beginning and the end of the parade of our life. So God can put people in our lives at a time when we really need them. And God will put someone in your life when you're seeking truth only. When you're seeking truth, when you're seeking a true worship, to be a true worshiper, God will use an earthen vessel. Brothers and sisters, and to our sisters, you don't have to be a preacher for God to put someone in your life. You got to know what to tell them, though. You got to know what to tell people when they come in your life. You can't guess at it. Don't be guessing. If you don't know what to tell them, then God will put someone in their life that can't tell them. That's why you have other people like ministers like myself. You can call on us. If God is using you and you don't know what to tell them, then call on us. Now, here's the thing. Here's this man. Peter now is up on a housetop to pray about the 6th hour. So Peter's praying about noon time. What is Peter doing? Praying. Where is he at? Housetop. What time is it? Midday. When the Jews pray 3, 6, 9 different times a day. Now, watch what happens. And he became very hungry. Who? Peter. And would have eaten while they made ready. He fell into a trance. He's hungry. While he was getting the food ready, he fell into a trance. And saw heaven open. And a certain vessel descended unto him, as it had been a great sheet at the four corners, and let down to the earth. Wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, and eat." She said, "No, Lord." Verse 14, "I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." So what he sees is these animals that they were not supposed to eat. So under the Old Testament law, Peter knew that there were certain foods forbidden to eat. That's not the case in the New Testament. So things have changed here. Now, so Peter's still considering the unclean thing. In Leviticus 11, let's show you a couple of them. Leviticus 11 and the verses number 7. The Bible says there, look at this. Leviticus, your Old Testament, Leviticus 11. Here was the Old Testament law. This is why I'm glad I'm a member of the New Testament church. And thank God that Jesus came. And notice this, verse 7. And the swine, that's a pig, pork chops, though he divide the hoof and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cob, he is unclean to you. So he's saying pigs were unclean at that time. Of their flesh shall you not eat, and of their carcass shall you not touch. Don't touch them. Don't touch a pig. For us, that means don't eat no bacon, no pork chop, no hog maws and chitlin. None of that. None of that. Now, most of us on this call probably, some of you may not know about hog maws and chitlin, but I did growing up. I still like them. Here's it. Look at verse 9. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever shall have fins and scales in the water, in the sea, and in the river, them shall ye eat. He said, eat fish that have fins and scales. Verse number 10. And all that have not fins and scales in the sea, in the river, and all that move in the water, any living thing which is in the heaven, in the water, excuse me, he says, they shall be an abomination unto you. What does that mean? Well, you know, catfish don't have no scales, don't you? So under the old law, just give you some things we eat today that they couldn't. Under the old law, under the Old Testament, the Jewish had some strict rules, dietary rules, and things they could eat and they could not eat. But that doesn't apply to us, you all. It doesn't apply to us today. And I thank God it don't. You ought to thank God it don't apply to us as well. So we look at this. So here's Peter. He understands the old law. But however, God is getting ready to teach Peter an important lesson. Because they also believed that the Gentiles were unclean. So he's going to teach him that nothing God made is unclean. So you can't have a respect of person or want to say this race of people and not this race of people. So here it is. Verse 15, go back to Acts 10. And the voice spake unto him again the second time. Let me repeat this. What God has clean, don't you call common. This was done three times, thrice. Verse 16. And the vessel went up again into the heaven. So Peter heard his voice. Peter is learning what it is to be a New Testament preacher, to be an able minister of the New Testament. Now, verse 17. But Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Peter doesn't have a clue of what's all going on yet. He don't know. He don't understand that God is setting them up to save to be the first preacher to the Gentile people. In verse 18, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. The Spirit speaking to Peter. Peter said, somebody's looking for you. Arise, therefore, and get down. Get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. See, Peter was doubting the vision. This time, the Spirit speaks. And remember, he's led by the Spirit. Peter is one of those men who God has chosen to be. And he received the promise of the Holy Spirit. So he's receiving this from the Lord directly. Don't you doubt nothing. I sent them. Then Peter went down to the men, which were sent with unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom seek ye. What is the cause wherefore you are come? Peter said, why are y'all here? So Peter don't really know what's happening here. And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that feared God. There it is again. So everybody know this man. These men know this is we came down here because of Cornelius and one that feared God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews was warned from God by the holy angel. There it is. Who warned the angel? What did Luke say? Who went to him? An angel did. So here it is again. These men said he was warned by an angel to send for thee, Peter, talking to Peter, into his house and hear the words of thee. And he called them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them. A certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, Peter leave with some other brethren as instructed. Good lesson. When God tell you what to do, you just do what he said do. Now, people that are going to be saying, going to fear God, when God say move, they're going to move. I'm telling you, people who fear God, they're going to keep his command. They're not going to be fighting against baptism. They're not going to be fighting against baptism. Jesus said, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. And I only repeat myself on these matters because there could be some people on the call who are not, you just like that person I'm talking about. I hope you are, God. You say, well, I don't want to hear that. Well, then I understand why you don't want to hear it, because you haven't chosen to fear God yet. But here it is. If you're on the call and you're fearing God, then you're thankful to hear the truth. And you want to know the truth. And you will obey the truth. And the other reason I say this a lot is because members of the church, we love people. And that's a good thing that we love them. Good thing that we want our friends and family to be saved. That's all perfectly okay. But to fret over another person not being willing to obey God, you have to put that in perspective. That is not you. That's that person. That person is the one who's responsible for his or her own soul. They're not rejecting you. They are rejecting God. I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, he that rejected me and received not my word had one that judged him. The word that I spoke to Satan was judging last day. These same people that are rejecting God don't have to face it. John 12:48, when Jesus said that. So don't get all shook up as if they're rejecting you. They're rejecting God. And I'm going to tell you the answer to the question is, why do people reject God? Because they don't fear God. And when a person don't fear God, you cannot help that person. That man, woman, boy, or girl must fear God for themselves. Or they're going to be in trouble in their judgment, though. They're going to be in trouble. I know that's something we should be sad about. Now, look at verse 24. And tomorrow after they entered Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. And he had called together his kinsmen and their friends. Now, Cornelius is so excited to learn what the Lord wanted him to do. He called together his kinsmen, relatives, and his friends. So how many of you on the call fear God like that? So you want to know so much about what you invite everybody you can to hear the message. You invite everyone you can to the Nationwide Monday through Friday. You invite everyone you can to hear the truth. How many of you using your social media outlet, your Facebook, your text messages to send these flyers out? I mean, seems like to me, I believe, this is Brother Brooks speaking, that the pandemic, the COVID-19, has given us one of the greater opportunities to evangelize. That is, to share the God. Not only that, God has given us tools that Peter and them didn't have. We got cars now. We got airplanes. We got internet. We got web. We got a Facebook. We got all kind of ways to send out invites to thousands of people. If you just take your email group and you just put a flyer and send out hundreds of people at one time. But you know people who are not going to invite people to hear the truth? People who don't fear God. You said, Brother Brooks, I haven't. Maybe you don't fear God. That's the purpose of this message. If you fear God and you love the souls of men, you would do just this. You would talk to your relatives like, he's like, that's what Cornelius did. He called relatives, the people, friends, all, and the Lord wants us to be excited about sharing the truth with the world. Sharing the truth with the world. Like, that's one thing that we got going for us as a congregation among in the United States. One of the few, I don't know of another one, actually, I'm just a few, just maybe two, that's nationwide outreach. Monday through Friday. Why? Souls are precious. Our mission, the church leaders should understand it. And thank God I got some good brethren at Hollow Heights who understand the mission of the church is to save souls. The mission of Jesus coming to the world to save souls, to seek and save those who are lost. That's why Brother Stroud and I working together. Not only must we baptize, but we must keep the saved by preaching the word. So in the morning times, my emphasis is more on baptizing people, which is the work of the church, primary mission. To make known the manifold wisdom of God. Prince Stryver comes on in the evening. He don't leave those who are lost out. He's still trying to baptize people. But he's also giving us those who want spiritual meat. And he's teaching how to live this life. That's something we do working together. But we never leave out anyone. We include both those who have never been baptized and both those who are saved, because there's no such thing as once saved, always saved. One brother put in the group me. He said, make it plain, stride, and keep it simple, Brooks. That's a good description. I like that. I like that. Keep it simple, Brooks. I want to be known as someone who kept it simple. I like to preach where my daddy, with a sixth grade education, he could understand everything I was teaching. I'm not impressed with men who use big fancy words and don't keep it simple, because you can't help some people. You're keeping it simple and making it plain. That's biblical. Keeping it simple and making it plain. What is my emphasis on this morning? My emphasis on the importance of us who fear God being doing just what Cornelius did. When he wanted to know what to do, he wanted his relatives and friends to know what to do. When we want our relatives and our friends who join our call, that we don't ever want to be guilty of not telling them what to do. One thing I put emphasis on all throughout my ministry with the ministerial program I have, we emphasize gospel cross preaching, because that's what saves and that's what keeps people saved. Members of the church that are going to stay saved will know about the cross, how much Jesus suffered for you, and that person will fear God and love him at the same time. They'll love him because he loved you and he gave his son for you. His son loved you. And that's what we're doing now. Let's go back to verse 25. Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshiped him. Mistake. This is a mistake, Cornelius. You get too excited. Cornelius got too excited. Why you say that, brother? But he never should have bowed down to Peter, but he didn't know. Never bow down to a man, not even an angel. How do you know that? I want to show y'all something. Go to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. In Revelation 22 and verse 8. Turn your Bible there. One thing I've learned from doing the call that I'm better able to slow my preaching down so you can go to some scriptures and read with me. I'm learning that now. I think I'm going to implement that in my preacher's style. Now, I'm a pulpit preacher, so y'all pray for me. But they taught me some things here. In verse 8, watch this now. I, John, saw these things and heard them. John was in a vision, remember, in Revelation? I've done the whole book of Revelation for you. And he said, I had heard and seen and fell down to worship, watch this, before the feet of an angel. John is making the same mistake when it came to angel. So Cornelius made a mistake when it came to Peter. John makes the same mistake when it came to an angel. But watch what God says through his word. The angel said, hey, verse 9. John said, he said to me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren of a who? The angel said, I'm just a brother to the prophets of them which keep the sayings of this book. He said, worship God. The angel said, no. That's the wrong thing to do, John. Now watch what Peter, go back to Acts 10. Peter going to say the same thing. When you fear God, you don't want to get no, we ain't looking for the glory. Brother, I'm not preaching, so you come tell me how good I am. Bow down to that's not me. And some people treat the pastors and preachers like they God. That's not the case. We're mere men. You know what Peter said? I myself am a man. Don't you think the Pope ought to learn this lesson? You sure he should? The Pope ought to learn this, because people bow down to him all the time. Shouldn't he be telling these people in the Catholic Church, I'm just a man? Get up. They worship that man. And these preachers who allow people to call them reverend. When the Bible says holy and reverend is God's name, they get more reverence than God. You give God the reverence, not the man. That's why the churches of Christ We call our preacher brother. Why? Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 7, he said that. He said, call no man father through 9. He said, call no man father. But one is your father, which is in heaven. And all ye are brethren. Even in the church of Christ. We got men, allowed men and women to call them doctors. Now, that's not biblical. If we preach against reverend, then we must preach against doctor. In the pulpit, you're not a doctor, you're a brother. On the college campus, we recognize it there. But in the pulpit, in church, in worship, when it comes to being a spiritual leader, you're a brother. Angels are brothers. Cornelius was a man. And then Peter said, man, I'm a man like you. Get up. So when you start thinking about this, you can see the people who don't fear God, men who don't fear God, will let you call them father. Jesus called no man your father up on earth. It ain't got nothing to do with it. Biological father. I'm talking about a religious leader. Don't the people in the Catholic Church read their Bible sometimes? If you read your Bible, you'll see this. You read your Bible, you would see exactly what I'm talking about here. But I'm going to tell you why they won't tell them. If you turn your Bible to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Listen to this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, the truth, giving heed to seducing spirits, little s, and doctrines, teachings of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They'll keep lying because they don't bother them. Who's going to speak the lie and hypocrisy? Who's going to have their conscience seared with a hot iron? The people who don't fear God, y'all, this is what this whole lesson about. When a preacher fear God, they will not, their conscience would not allow them to let you call them anything other than brother. Now, notice what happened. I'm talking about the Pope right now. Verse 3. Forbidding to marry, telling the priest they can't marry. That's one who don't fear God. Command them to abstain from meat, just like in the Old Testament. Like we just read, they going to keep that law, telling they can't eat catfish from meats, or whatever meat they tell them they can't eat. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meat, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving. That's why we can eat pork today. That's why we can eat a pig feet. Because God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature, verse 4, of God is good, nothing to be refused. You want to eat a scorpion, you can eat it. If it be received with thanksgiving. God, the only requirement to eat meat today is that you receive it with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, here's my point. In 1 Timothy 4, it spells out the Roman Catholic Church and their belief. That's why this man will allow them to call him Pope, call him Papa, the Papa of the Church. That's what they call the papacy, the Papa. Why? Papa is called Father, which means he's God. He's the vicar, V-I-C-A-R. He's God. He speaks instead of another, stands instead of another. He's God on earth to them. He's not going to tell them to stop calling him Father because he wants them to bow down and worship him. He said, Brother Bruce, I just don't, the only thing I don't like because you call the Catholic name. Well, I call. Yeah, well, that's what I do. I preach the truth. The truth got to be preached. And, you know, I call Baptist. I love him. Well, my family, when I call Baptist, any of them, it doesn't matter who it is and how much we love them, they got to know the truth. Cornelius was a man who feared God, but he needed to know the truth. Now, what if Peter didn't go tell him? Peter had to go down and tell him, get up. I'm a man like you. That is not what you need to be doing. What did Brother Brooks do? The same identical thing. The same identical thing. You know, the good thing about choices of congregations, of preachers, or what you want to hear. Today, people got free will to do whatever they want to do, wherever they want to do it. And if you're looking for a church that let you call them reverend, one that'll let you call them father, one that'll let you call that'll worship whatever they want to worship, you want a congregation that's doing whatever they want to do, a church building, you can find it today. Come on, Brother Bruce, call. I'm going to be straightforward. Book, chapter, and verse. Without favor nor fear of man. Why, Brother Brooke? I fear God. I fear God. And when man fear God, you don't add to God's word or we won't take from it. That's a good thing about all the preachers that we're bringing on our call. We got some great ones coming on. Our preachers are staying with truth. That's important. Why is that important, Brother? Because here's the situation. Just like with Peter, well, God gonna send me and need to tell the world what to do to be saved. Let's go back to Acts. So Peter took him by verse 26, Acts 10. He said, stand up. I myself am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And look at that. He went in and Peter said, wow, these people. Talk to this man. Now watch verse 28. Here come the explanation for the sheep that Peter saw in his trance. Peter, this is my verse 28. And he said unto them, he's speaking to this audience of people at Cornelius' house. You know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me, Peter got that point. Peter standing there, a Jew, standing there with all them Gentiles. I'd be like, I guess I can use this, but everybody understand, like the time when blacks could not eat in the same place with whites, you know, and a black man walking to an audience with all white people. That would have been a strange scene. This is a strange scene right here. A white man coming to an audience of all blacks. It would have been a strange scene back in the time of segregation and things like that. But Peter go in this strange scene. He said, I got the message. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. See, God is revealing to Peter what that sheep meant. Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore, what intent have you sent for me? Peter didn't understand why did these Jews, Gentiles sent for me. Peter's a Jew. Cornelius a Gentile. And before Jesus died, it was unlawful for Jews and Gentiles to come together like that. Gentiles were considered unclean in the eyes of Jews. So what do Peter know? What do you know now, Peter? Tommy, God has shown me that Gentiles are clean as the Jews. I'm able minister of the New Testament. I'm going to preach to white, black, Hispanic, because we all bleed one blood. You follow what I'm saying, y'all? So like Peter, God showed Peter, we should have the same view. No one should come in among us that we don't love their soul, regardless the color, nationality. So I come, he said, I come without gainsaying. I don't have no more questions. Remember he was doubting earlier? I come to find out what God has sent for me. Why? Listen to Cornelius now. Remember earlier I told you that Luke was speaking about what actually happened that day to Cornelius? Now Cornelius will give his experience, but he's not guided by the Holy Spirit now. He's just talking as a man. You know, sometimes we say things like, you know, God came to me one night. That's you telling us that. God came to you one night and told you what to do. None of us, God would have a respect the person if he came to you and he'd come to me and tell me what to do. But see, God here, Peter's going to learn that God has no respect for a person. So Cornelius is going to give it his account, even though it's not going to be as accurate as what Peter said, what Luke told us. Look at verse number 10. Now, you Bible student, stick with me here, because when people preach about Cornelius, they get all confused with the sinner's prayer thing. Notice what Cornelius said. And so he tells Peter, saying, okay, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And the 9th hour, I prayed in my house, which is what actually happened about the time. That's what Luke said, too. He said, behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. He's talking about that angel. So he's telling Peter what happened to him. And Cornelius, it said, Cornelius, notice what he said. Notice what Cornelius said happened. Cornelius said, the angel said that prayer is heard. That's not the case, is it? If you go back, the angel said, your prayer has come up as a memorial. He didn't say he heard it. It went up as a memorial. Remember how I talked about how you don't have to pray to be saved if you're seeking truth. God know your thoughts. God knew his thoughts. Cornelius thought that the prayer he prayed was the reason God responded. No. The angel said, no, it went up as a memorial. God didn't forget that you were looking for him, Cornelius. And that arms I had to remember, God know the good works he's done now. You say, Brother Bruce, people with good works, God has responded to their prayer. No, no. They're saved. No, 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 that's not the case. Listen to Matthew 7:21. The Bible said, Jesus said this. This is what Jesus said. Not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Who going to say to Jesus, Lord, Lord, when are they going to say it? In their prayers. Oh, Lord, our God. Watch what he says, though. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say to me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? In thy name cast out devils? And in that name done many wonderful works? These were people who called on the Lord. Verse 23. Watch this. Jesus said, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. You're workers of iniquity. What kept him, what kept them from knowing God? Why did Jesus say that? Did he contradict himself? Is that what's going on with Cornelius? Well, in Isaiah 59, it answers the question. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Now, mark it down. Let me finish shortly. Verse 1 and 2, he said, Isaiah said, behold, the Lord's hand not short, that he cannot say, God can save anybody. Neither hear him, they cannot, not that he can hear. God responds to thoughts. But your iniquity, same thing Jesus told him. See, when you come up with your iniquity, is not lawlessness, or coming up with your own way to be saved. That's what happened to Ethiopia. They were calling on the Lord, but they weren't doing what he said. But your Isaiah said, here's the problem. Your iniquities, doing what you want to do to be saved, not doing what God told you. Number one reason is that you don't fear him. Number two, that's an iniquity. You come up with your own law. He said they're separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Why? Who will he not hear? Those who have not had their sins washed away. It's simple. And that's what was wrong with these people in Matthew 7. They didn't obey God. This is like today. Many people have not obeyed God. They haven't been baptized. Their sins have not been washed away. Therefore, they can't pray. And it's because people, what they're doing today, preachers are telling them, okay, here's what you need to do to be saved. Pray God. Pray to God. Pray to him and tell him, Lord, I'm a sinner coming to my heart. You saved. No, you can't be saved like that. Jesus said, go into all the world, Mark 16:15-16, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's who's going to be saved. Now, those are the people God will hear that prayer. 1 Peter 3:21, 3:12, he said, eyes of the Lord over the righteous and ears are open to their prayer. He turns his face against them to do evil. So who is he listening to when it comes to prayer? Those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those who have washed their sins away. They have this covenant relationship now because they've been contacted with the blood of Jesus. And those are the people that God hears prayers. Not those who are seeking to be saved. Now, let's go back to Acts 2. Cornelius said, verse number 31, that prayer is heard, as we said, but that's not what the angel said. That arms are had in remembrance of the sight of God. Send it therefore to Joppa, call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of Simon Tanner by the seaside, who when he come, he shall speak unto thee. That's true. Immediately therefore I sent to thee. As he's explaining to Peter what happened, he says, so I sent for you as soon as I was told. And thou has well done that thou art come. He said, man, I'm so thankful you come, because I was told to tell you to come down here. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God? Who he giving credit to? God. What does he do? He is man that fear God. We don't take the credit for anything that happens in our lives. We always say, if it be to God's will. People who fear God give God credit and hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Cornelius speaks on behalf of everybody. We all here. We want to know what the Lord got to say through you. If we had more people like him today, ready to hear There'll be more people God would save. Verse number 34. Then Peter opened his mouth. So Peter been told why he's there now. And he said, of truth, I perceive. He get it. It's like a revelation to him. Now I get the sheet. I understand now. Of truth, I perceive. I got it now. That God is not a respecter of persons. There it is. Peter got the message. And what message did he get? The Gentile cannot be. I can no longer be prejudiced toward him. They can be saved just like me. That's what Peter. That's just Peter just got the message that the Gentiles can be saved just like Jews. God do not see them as unclean. Now, right here is where Peter will preach the first gospel sermon to Gentiles. The first time he preached was to the Jews in Acts chapter 2. He baptized 3,000. He's going to baptize some here. What is doing, what Peter doing? He's carrying out the great commission or the commands of Jesus. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Matthew 28, 18. He said, go teach all nations, baptize them. Mark 16, 15. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Every creature he that believes is baptized shall be saved. So Peter's a gospel preacher. But you remember in Matthew 16, 18, when the Lord spoke to Peter, in Matthew 16, 18, he said, I say unto thee, Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, that he was the Son of God, he's confessing of me, I will build my church. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, which means it belongs to him. And the gates of hell, meaning the grave, shall not prevail against it. It didn't, because Jesus resurrected on the third day. Now, verse 19, what I want to give you. He said, I will give thee, talking specifically to Peter, the keys to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom in the church. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose. The keys that Peter used would be the gospel. In Acts 2, he used it, those gospel keys, and he preached the kingdom, which is the church. And Peter now will use the same keys to preach the first time to the Gentiles. When he preached the first gospel sermon to the Gentile, Peter would do it. And Jesus told him he was going to give it to him. And now in Acts 10, he's using those 10 keys to preach to the Gentile. Listen to his sermon as we close. As we close. Let's listen to his sermon. We're at verse number 35. We'll read through 45. And I'll be closing. But every nation, Peter's preaching now. And you got the Cornelius, everybody listening to him. He said, God has no respect for person. Peter, get it. He said, but in every nation, he that feared him, who? He that feared him. That's what I'm interested in. He knows someone is in that house that feared God. And we know who it is, Cornelius. And all his household. Because the Bible told us, Luke told us who that. So Peter knows he's among people who fear God. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. He's getting ready to preach Jesus and him crucified. Now, the word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism of John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. God was with him. He preaching Jesus, y'all. And Peter said, we are witness of all these things. Peter said, I was there with him. And he did both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom they slew and hang on the cross. There at the crucifixion. He preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And God raised him up the third day, showed him over. So here it is. He's preaching the gospel. The gospel must be preached. And that when you preach the gospel, you preach Jesus hanging on the cross. They killed him on a tree, but God raised him up. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, where you stand by, which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, lest you believe in vain. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, that he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the scripture. That's gospel preaching right there. Now, verse 41. Not to all the people, but unto witness chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So Peter giving them his experience when he was with Jesus. And he commanded us, talking about the apostles, to preach unto the people and testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge with quick and the dead, to give all prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth will be those who fear God. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive what? Remission of sin. The people who are going to be saved will fear God. They're going to hear God's word from a preacher of God, a man of God, an earthen vessel. They're going to believe, just like the Jews did in Acts 2:38. After Peter preached, he said, repent. They said, meaning, brother, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sin. See that? What's baptism for? The remission of sin. Here it is, he's telling them. When you believe, you're going to receive remission of sins. How do you know that? Well, Jesus said this, Mark 16:15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Watch this now. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Baptism for the remission of sins. Who going to obey the truth? Those who fear God. What are they going to do? They're going to be baptized for the remission of their sins. And Peter yet spake these words. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, that's the Jews, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on, notice this, on the Gentile also were poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right here, the Jews had received the miraculous measure of the Holy Ghost, just like the apostles of the Pentecost. Look at this. How do I know? Verse 46. They heard them speak with tongues. Remember in Acts 2? With the Peter, they thought they were drunk. He said, no, these men are not drunk, they supposed. They were speaking in tongues. And me and all nations heard them speak. That's a miracle. When you can speak in tongues, mean that's not that gibber jabber stuff you hear today. Yabba shabba come on. That type of stuff is a bunch of mumbling. There's no meaning to those words. Language is tongue speaking. Brother Brooks speaks in English. The Russian would hear me in Russian. Brother Brooks speaking English. In Japan, they would hear me in Japanese language. That's tongue speaking. So here it is. They got the same thing the apostles had on the day of Pentecost. Now, then, so Peter says, hey, the master says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as we? Now watch what happened. Here comes their salvation. And he commanded them. There it is. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then pray they him to there a certain day. What did Peter go down and tell him, okay, repeat after me a sinner's prayer? No. He didn't say, Lord, I'm a sinner, come here. He didn't tell Cornelius what to do. He didn't tell him to do none of that. What Peter so told him, he said, can y'all be in water? Remember in Acts 8, the eunuch came up on the water after Philip preached to him, and he said, see, here's water. When you preach Jesus, and a man and a woman want to be saved, you got to preach water baptism. And so Peter preached water baptism that day, and notice that he commanded all of them to be baptized. In the name of, by the authority of Jesus. Anybody on the call today need to be baptized? Anybody on the call today can forbid water for somebody who want to be baptized? Can anybody forbid water? We cannot forbid water. Not for those who want to be baptized. But I'm saying today, what did Cornelius have going for him? Well, Luke said he feared God. When a person feared God, they want to know what he do, what to do to be saved. They're going to do what God said do. If you're on the call this morning, my question is, do you fear God? If you fear God and you have been seeking the truth, you're trying to find the one true church, you want to make sure you eliminate any possibility of losing your soul, then believe this, that the Bible is from God. And if you fear God, then I'm going to tell you what you ought to do. Here's what you ought to do. You ought to believe that God gave us this word. You ought to fear him enough to obey it. Here's what God said do. The Bible teaches in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that his world, the world through him, may be saved. You ought to believe that Jesus came because God sent him. You ought to believe that Jesus lived on the earth and that he walked among me, and that in the end of his life, he knew he had to die to save you. You ought to understand and believe that you never saw him, but this book tells you what he did. He cried in the garden to his Father, let this cup pass, the cup of suffering. But he knew he had to die for you and me. You ought to believe that they took him. He went to sixth trial, according to New Testament teaching, at night. He stood before Pontius Pilate. And Pilate had him beat with a whip. You ought to believe that, without ever seeing that Jesus took that painful whipping for you. And you ought to obey God, ought to fear God enough to say, if God could let his Son go through all of that, surely I can obey his command. Jesus then was led to Calvary with wearing a crown of thorns and carrying a tree of the cross on his back. When they got him to Calvary, that's where they executed him by crucifixion and nails in his hands and his feet. And he hung there for 6 long hours to save our soul. You ought us to believe this. After he died on that cross, they buried him in a tomb and he resurrected. When he got up, he gave the command that Peter done, what Philip kept. Peter kept it. Cornelius just obeyed it. What one must do to be saved, they must hear the good news of the gospel, which I just shared with you. It's sad that he had to die. But the good news is he did it for you and he did it for me. And if you believe that with all of your heart, that's the second step. You got to hear it from a preacher of the gospel. An earthen vessel like myself, like Peter had to go to them, I'm coming to you with this truth. They hung him on the tree of the cross. Do you believe that with all of your heart? Are you willing to repent of your sin? Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell your neighbor, except you repent, you're going to perish. Are you willing to make a confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before me? Jesus said, you confess me before me, and I confess you before my Father, Matthew 10:32. Are you willing to be baptized as commanded by Jesus? As commanded by the apostles. Or you know that only in baptism can your sins be washed away. Have you prayed a sinner's prayer? God's not responding to your prayer to be saved. You've got to respond to God in fear of God. To be saved, you must be baptized. And when you wash the sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus, Revelation 1:5, you step into that water, believe the blood is in there. You're not going to see it. And that blood will wash away your sin. And the Lord will add you to the only church in the Bible. That is the church of Christ. Acts 2:47. The members of the Church of Christ who have fallen by the wayside, those who fear God will come home. Who are going to come home? Those who fear God. If you fear God, then you'll come home confessing your fault as he's commanded us. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Here's the thing. If you fear God and you're living in sin, your conscience is not bothered. But if your conscience is bothered, then you can repent today and ask God to forgive you. Why are you doing that? Because you're one that feared God. And so if you're a member of the church, you need prayer, you want to make confession. Or if you visit, you say, I fear God, brother, but I want to be. You hit 5-star, we'll make the arrangement no matter where you are.